It's always the first round of the men's NCAA tournament where there are a number of my colleagues who take the day off. And it's understandable because it's a very exciting day. I'll attend the opening round of the men's tournament tonight in Charlotte at the Spectrum Center. I'll watch Colorado State take on Texas in the early game. Reggie Walker, as the men's tournament starts today, what storyline are you watching?
I think there's a few. It's can Purdue rebound from falling apart last year as a one seed losing to a 16? I think you're also looking at, obviously, whether or not UConn can repeat. So I think those are the two big ones. And also the interesting thing, big men. UConn center-focused, Purdue center-focused as well. Something to keep an eye on this tournament.
Good stuff from Reggie Walker. This is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, March 21st. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. MLB, Major League Baseball, is concluding its two-game series in South Korea today on Thursday. Dodgers-Padres will play in front of nearly 16,000 fans. Tickets sold out for the two games within minutes. And of course, opening day in the United States for baseball is next Thursday. So while the Dodgers and the Padres are in the spotlight, the news about Shohei Ohtani's interpreter being fired after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation is not the storyline that baseball or the Dodgers want as the season begins. But we have to learn more. We have to see how this plays out. And there is nothing I have seen at all this morning that indicates it was Ohtani doing any betting at all, but a storyline to watch as baseball opens its season. Meanwhile, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred was in South Korea for the opening games, and he said Puerto Rico could be MLB's next destination outside of continental North America to play regular season games. Baseball last played in Puerto Rico in 2018. Baseball will play games this season in Mexico City and London, in addition to the two games in Seoul. And remember, they played in the Dominican Republic earlier this month for two spring training games. So why do we see this? Well, we continue to see each league employ its own globalization strategy. Baseball, no different. Each of these destinations has a plan or a strategy behind them. Some have great baseball cultures, and others are markets where baseball is trying to break new ground, where there is a real economic opportunity for the league. And so that's the strategy you're seeing as baseball plays a number of regular season games outside of North America. Let's move on. Maryland Governor Wes Moore and Monumental Sports founder Ted Leonsis have met to discuss possibly bringing the Wizards and Capitals to Maryland after arena plans in Virginia are very much in jeopardy. With a deal in Virginia really on hold, Ted Leonsis could try and work with Virginia officials to move it forward. He could try to renegotiate with leaders in Washington, D.C. about renovations to Capital One Arena, or he could hold conversations with leaders in Maryland, and that seems to be what he's doing. We do know Maryland has been very friendly to sports teams. A combined $1.2 billion has been made available for stadium upgrades for the Ravens and the Orioles. And one of Wes Moore's key items involves keeping the Commanders in Maryland. Remember, they play in Landover. So it's obviously been very friendly for sports teams, but you have to wonder if there is enough public funding to go around and if there is an appetite by state officials to offer a package to Ted Leonsis. But that's where Ted Leonsis and Monumental sit right now in March as they think about their future home. Another story that's been in the news. For years, there has been a class action lawsuit hovering over the UFC as allegations have persisted that the UFC used long-term exclusive contracts to delay or in some cases even prevent fighters from having free agency. There were also allegations that they coerced fighters into re-signing deals. Basically, that the UFC was the only show in town. They overstepped antitrust laws and prevented any competition. Now, it was a serious threat to the success of the UFC. Many were concerned about its long-term potential impact. I've been asked about this for a long time. A trial on this was scheduled to start on April 15th, and damages were estimated to be roughly $1.6 billion. So you see the impact this could have had. Well, this all seems to have been averted, as the TKO Group, the parent company of the UFC, will pay $335 million to resolve the class action from UFC fighters. So there is a settlement. It was reached this month in March. Payments will be paid in installments to the fighters. Bottom line, UFC avoids a very damaging financial outlay by making a settlement with this group of fighters who were challenging antitrust laws and antitrust action against the UFC. We talk about Professional Women's Hockey League a lot and the attendance records they are setting. Well, tickets for the game between Toronto and Montreal at the Bell Center in Montreal on April 20th, they sold out in less than 20 minutes yesterday on Wednesday. And that arena has capacity of over 21,000. And so that means the game will likely set a new attendance record for women's hockey, breaking the last record of more than 19,000 at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. So the Bell Center in Montreal will be the sixth NHL venue to host a professional women's hockey league game in this inaugural season. And I know I keep talking about this league, but I think the attendance figures they're drawing are quite impressive. And as the Hockey News noted, the Bell Center is the biggest hockey arena in North America, meaning that we won't be talking about breaking more attendance records unless the PWHL decides to hold an outdoor game. And there are discussions about possibly an outdoor game by the PWHL going forward. But right now, a big, big attendance number should greet that league at the Bell Center in April. Interesting moves continue in the college space as Nebraska is finalizing a new deal to make Washington's athletic director Troy Dannon the school's new AD. Now, Troy Dannon just came to Washington in early October, so he just joined that school, but he's that well regarded, and he gives Nebraska a replacement for former athletic director Trev Alberts, who of course left for Texas A&M earlier this month. Now, Troy Dannon's been a fast riser. He was at Tulane, then went to Washington. He's had real success in football. He has been part of the Big Ten meeting since starting at Washington, so he has a familiarity with the league. But this is a tough blow for Washington, as they have a lot to figure out. And like I said, he's leaving after just 6 months. Here is something interesting. Nebraska plays Texas A&M on Friday in both the men's and women's basketball tournaments, and noted college reporter Dan Wolken noted that Nebraska did not want to be without an athletic director when playing A&M with Trev Alberts on the other sideline, so hence why they moved very quickly on Troy Dannon. And all of this movement speaks to the pursuit by presidents and chancellors to hit a home run on their hiring of athletic directors. They really need to land a good athletic director. They need to move quickly, and they need to get someone good at building a football program. And Troy Dannon certainly can do that. You know, I mentioned a couple of times on the Buzzcast how I recently spoke to some sports leadership and strategy classes at both Clemson and the University of South Carolina. A lot of the questions from the students were about where they should focus as they look for a career in sports. I told them, like, sales is still a clean pathway to get involved in sports. And it's always been, I would say, the most accessible way to get involved in sports. But sales groups, sales teams, they are smaller than previous years. And there are other areas in the sports world needing talent. I stress to young people, they should think about content creation, content production, storytelling, and creative ideation around social storytelling. If you can do that, you'll find a job. Also, if young people can analyze, understand, and explain data and analytics and have a sharp sense of business intelligence on consumer behavior, they will find plenty of opportunities in the sports business. A couple of other suggestions I always offer. They better go into an interview armed with research, know their subjects, and the company that they're interviewing at. They better have a list of questions. When I sit with a young person and they don't have any questions about Sports Business Journal or sports business or my journey, that conversation quickly ends, and it's a massively missed opportunity. I know some don't like this phrase, but I still come back to be interesting and be interested. Share your story. Bring some topics you want to discuss and be an active, engaged, and curious questioner. Eye contact, smiles, and a positive comportment go a long, long way. Also, finally, never underestimate the power of the handwritten thank you note after an interview. Yes, when I receive the quick email thank you, sure, that is appreciated, but a handwritten note is far more impactful. So those are just a few suggestions I've shared while speaking to students recently on campus. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, March 21st. I'm Abe Matkor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Friday.